Let's pray. Lord, as we share in your word now, I just ask that as we share a practical word, that we would be open to what you're saying to us. And I thank you that you've already been ministering to us. Continue to sharpen our focus concerning our part, the role that you have for us. It may seem insignificant in the eyes of men, but it's not insignificant in your eyes. And I want to thank you, Lord, that your highest value is faithfulness. And I thank you that when we are faithful with little, you begin to expand the borders of our ministry and the extent of our ministry. And I just ask that this morning you would encourage us as we look into this whole area of sustaining what you've called us to do. Speak to us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the overview and the outline, you'll notice there that we have covered a number of things as we've looked at this word cosmos. We've clarified our values. We've clarified outlined our shape, our particular shape as individuals. Now, David's going to be doing that course in the upcoming weeks. He can do it in the next few weeks if there was an avalanche. And if you don't understand as yet your shape, there would be the opportunity for a couple of weeks of doing that with Dave through the week. So indicate it on your care cards later. But outlining my shape, we've talked about the uniqueness that we have as individuals in the mission and purposes of God. Then we've talked about the need to surrender to God's mission. Then we've talked about mapping out prayerfully our cosmic mission, and particularly just the overarching shape for our lives, for each of us as individuals. Last week we talked about organising my time around my shape and how that becomes a priority. And today and for the next couple of weeks as we wrap the series up, I want to talk about sustaining and strengthening it. And today particularly I want to look at this whole aspect of sustaining what it is God has called us to do uniquely. Just a scripture for you in Ecclesiastes. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? All right, if your axe is dull and it's not sharp, more strength's going to be needed to chop down any tree. But skill will bring success. It's interesting the way that this is shaped in other passages of the Scripture. What skill would I bring if I was an axeman? I'd sharpen my axe. I would actually do some things that would help me accomplish the purposes that I have to have in mind. Mount Everest. We have a young man who's regularly fellowship with us in the next few weeks who's going to attempt to climb Mount Everest. We regularly hear and know that there are a whole heap of teams that try and climb Mount Everest. Do you realise that 80 to 85% every year fail and some people die every year over the last few years trying to climb the highest mountain? Now, some of these people go into 3 years of preparation and yet they still fail. They still miss out. Maybe it's the weather conditions that turn against them, or physically they are just not able to cope with the high altitude particular situations and things that they will encounter. All the preparation in the world and they can fail. You've heard David's story this morning and part of his testimony. When things just don't seem to be working out the way that we want them to. But God always has a purpose in these things. And through the ups and the downs, the peaks and the valleys, how do we sustain? How do we keep going? How do we keep going and persevere in the work that God has called us to do? I was journaling this week in James 1. And just this little phrase whacked me right between the eyes. Perseverance must finish its work. Now, if it has a work, that means it's going to accomplish something. Whenever we're in a tough situation, God is wanting to accomplish something in us as individuals, and he's wanting to transform us. And it's really important that we allow ourselves, we've got to actually take steps, as I mentioned last week, to enable this to happen. So some really practical skills that I want to talk about today in reference to this. And the first of these is this. I must master my moods. I must master my moods. You've got to be able to do not just what you feel like doing, but what you actually have to do. Have you noticed that? I mean, a lot of life is made up of us doing stuff we don't really want to do or really feel like doing. Have you ever known something would help you and you've known it would be good for you, but you just never could find time to do it? You ever experienced that? You're like me, you have many times. I want to give you a specific example because I've been talking to quite a number of you. You see, for these past 6 or 7 weeks, I've been giving you a homework project. And I know you've had, many of you, an incredible intention to do something about it. And I know you've wanted to do it. And I'll tell you what often has happened these past 6 or 7 weeks. We are manipulated and have been manipulated by our moods. Have you ever realised that most of what gets done in this world is done by people who don't feel like doing it? If I only taught or preached when I felt like preaching, half the time I wouldn't be here. That's the reality. You can do a lot of hard work and then wake up on the day and just think, oh, do I have to again? And we've got to make a decision. Whatever it might be, and that's an area of passion for me. If you only went to work when you felt like it, how often would you go to work? Hey? How often would you do it? I mean, we've got to learn as we mature to do the right thing regardless of how we feel. And if we're going to mature, that is an issue of maturity. It's learning to master our moods. A couple of scriptures, 1 Corinthians 8:11. Let your enthusiastic idea at the start be equaled by your realistic actions now. Isn't that a good scripture? We can have all the wonderful ideas and we can even know what God's told us to do, but never do anything about it. Proverbs 25:28 in the Living Bible, a man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. You're helpless and hopeless if you don't have any self-control in your life. And so how do I learn to master my moods? I want to suggest just two things to you, very practically and quickly this morning, as quickly as I can. The first thing is by guarding your mind. By guarding your mind, my mind. Because whatever you think about is going to determine your mood. Whatever I think about is going to determine the way I feel ultimately. Your moods are determined by whatever you focus on. The way you think determines the way that you feel. And the way you feel determines actually what you end up often doing or choosing to act out. If you want to change your life, you don't change your emotions. They are not turned on and off like that quickly. You can't force emotions. I command you to be happy. You know, it just doesn't happen, does it? Doesn't work that way. It's like telling a little kid, I command you to cheer up. Well, they're just not going to cheer up. That sort of command's going to make them sadder still. You have to change your thought life. As Solomon says in Proverbs 4, the New Century Version, be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. Be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. If you want to fulfill your mission, it means you're going to have to guard what thoughts you allow in your mind. And that's really, really important. And the second thing is something that David touched on this morning. We need to affirm God's word. We need to affirm what God says in our lives. One of the things I love about worship songs through the history, I mean, Luther was the first, one of the first in the Reformation to actually put scripture into song. Is when we sing and when we worship, we are affirming God's word. We do that day after day. Affirming God's word means believing what God says about me. rather than what I feel about me. I might feel incompetent. God says, you are competent. I may feel unloved. God says, you are loved. I may feel unworthy. God says, you are worthy. I died for you. The truth about you comes from God. The truth about me comes from God. And one of the things that we've got to come to terms with is we need to affirm the one thing in this world that is true. And that is what God says about you, what God says about me. Now, we have a very interesting lady in our city who has developed a whole school of psychology that has taken her around the world, and she has based positive cognitive therapy to help people with all manner of mental illnesses, and she has based all of her positive cognitive therapy tools on God's truth about an individual. And as people have to say things about themselves at breakfast, at morning tea, at lunch, at afternoon tea, at tea time, at supper, before they go to bed, what they don't realise sometimes if they're not a Christian is they are actually saying something to themselves that God says about them, and it lifts them out of depression. It lifts them out of bipolar disorder. She is having amazing results. Friends, you speak inside your head far faster than any other means. And most of our self-talk is not from God. We've got to listen to what God says about us, and we've got to repeat that. And that is so important to altering the way that we feel about ourselves and altering our moods. Feelings can lie. Have you ever noticed that? I remember the night before I got married, I had this incredible feeling. Basically, it said, run. All right, run. And if I had run, I probably would have made the worst mistake of my life. I had immense feelings of insecurity and doubt and fear. I hardly slept a wink. Feelings are often the result of something you eat. Or they're the result of the weather. Have you ever been in a conversation and somebody says something and all of a sudden your mood alters, just like that? Why? Because thoughts determine feelings. Feelings, out of our feelings, we often act. And that's a tragedy. And we're never judged on the basis of our feelings, we're judged on the basis of what we do. And we need to understand that. So if you're listening to negative stuff all the time through the various means in the media and all the rest, and you're always around people who are always down, understand you can't soar with eagles if you're always running around and listening to turkeys. It just doesn't happen. We've got to listen to the truth that God says about us. Very important lesson on faith. Faith is acting before feeling. It's doing the right thing whether I feel like it or not. This is an amazing truth. If you wait until you feel it, that's not faith. Faith is doing the right thing even though you don't feel it or feel like it. The amazing thing about this is that motion creates emotion. In other words, you can actually begin to move yourself to a different point of feeling. There's a whole field of study that's been done on this. It's doing the right thing whether your mood says to do it or not. Philippians 4:13. I culled the Jerusalem Bible this week on this one because it's fresh. You all know the other versions. There is nothing I cannot master with the help of the one who gives me strength. Don't you love that? There is nothing I cannot master with the help of the one who gives me strength. Real practical. Let me be real practical. I have no doubt that many of you, and we've had some good conversations this last week with a number of you, God has been talking to you about the big picture. You know that he's been telling you to do something or giving you a nudge into a new arena of ministry. And you've been giving him all kinds of excuses. And you've been saying things like, God, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have the money, I don't have the education, I don't have the talent to do this. I want to suggest to you that you stop making excuses and you start affirming God's word. You start affirming what God has said to you. So here's the homework this week. I've given you homework every week. But I want to encourage you to go back and do some of those things that you haven't done. More of that in a moment. But particularly I want to encourage you to take some scriptures that are very important to you. Some scriptures that in your journey with Jesus, he has given you. And I want you to write them down and I want you to regularly revisit them every day. I want you to start believing the truth that God speaks into your life. Now, we encourage you to make this a pattern of your life. Tanya talked to us a week or two back about the children and what they're going to be doing in reference to this. And I'm really encouraged by this. That maybe over the time that our kids are just in our Life Streamers program, they're going to learn up to 100 verses. And the difference that that will make in their lives as they grow and they mature. But as you begin to build this into your lives as a pattern, friends, it changes the way you feel about life. It changes the moods that we have. And God can very quickly lift us to a different place. Second thing, all right, the last three will be done in the time I took for the first. Okay? Test me. I must manage my energy. I must manage my energy. Even if you know your life mission, if you're tired all the time, it's not going to happen. It's not going to get fulfilled. So you've got to learn how to manage your energy. If you're in a state of continual fatigue, you are likely to be grumpy. You will miss key opportunities because you're too tired to get involved or to do it. Plain and simple. It's one of the devil's strategies. Now, there's two types of fatigue. There's physical fatigue and spiritual fatigue. Here's my answer to physical fatigue. If you're physically tired, friends, you have a sleep, you get over it. You just correct your little bit of diet and have a bit of sleep and maybe a little bit of exercise, it's taken care of if it's physical fatigue. But it's interesting that I've noticed a lot of people over time who are just so desperate to have a holiday. And the problem is they go and take their holiday and they're looking to be rejuvenated and refreshed, and they come back from their holiday and they are no fresher than when they went. You know why? Because they went on the holiday. They actually had to take themselves on the holiday. They actually needed a holiday from themselves if they were going to get refreshed. Because the reality is they weren't physically tired so much as physically tired as spiritually fatigued. Now I want to talk just a moment about spiritual fatigue. Because spiritual fatigue comes from things like frustrations, expectations of other people. It comes from conflict, resentment, worry, anger. It is the inner you that spiritually wears us out. All these kinds of negative things, negative emotions create spiritual fatigue. And when you're physically tired, all you have to do is get rest. You can sleep, but spiritual fatigue, we've got to do something different. I think one of the best things that you can ever do to help you there is to get a group of people with whom you are robustly honest and transparent with in your journey of life. That's why we push so strongly life groups in the life of this church. They'll have more to do with rejuvenation spiritually than anything else. But I want to suggest just a couple of things that are really important in terms of managing your energy so that you can complete your mission over the long haul. One is eliminate non-essentials out of your schedule. Eliminate non-essentials out of your schedule. Those things that really aren't important. Eliminate the trivia. You need to be aware of the time wasters in your life. Now, all through this series, I've been saying, ask questions about the way that you spend your time. I look around this room this morning and there are some men, not women, but men I have engaged with, and I have been listening for 13 years, you make excuses about not having time for family, not having time to be regularly in God's Word, not having time to do some of the things that you would rate number one. Pastorally, I am frustrated. God is the only one who can bring about that change in you, but you've got to cooperate. And there is trivia that you are wasting life on that is causing you spiritual fatigue because you don't have time to grow spiritually. So important that we address this, people. Make sure in your schedule, as we spend a week on it, the important things get done first before you do anything else. So refreshing. I spent time with one of our men yesterday afternoon in some counsel and sharing together, and he talked about the way that they have reorganized their priorities. He talked about, for him, what is the highlight of his week, and it is their family Bible study and prayer time. They have a child in primary school, a child in high school, and some of the things that they have done to nurture their family in the things of God. And some nights he said, I've had to confess to the family, I don't want to do this tonight. I feel lousy. I feel tired. I feel as if everything is stacked against that. And he'll look at his kids and he'll say, will you pray for me? And suddenly the climate changes. I love hearing stories like that. All right? Eliminate the non-essentials. Secondly, take time to relax. Now, you might think this is in contrast. Please, listen here. Proverbs 14:30, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. There are three kinds of time that you have. There's prime time, when you're at your best. So you give whatever is most important, you focus on that in your prime time, whenever that is best, whenever you're at your best. So whatever you're really good at, whatever you really need to get done first, schedule that for your prime time. Then there's what I would call grind time. All right, that's when you have to do the stuff of life that everybody has to do. For me, if I had the choice, and I try to do this, it's after lunch. It's after a fairly long morning. I have about a 7-hour period before I have lunch. My hour or so after lunch is where I'm a bit, and it takes a little bit of getting going. I'd love to be Spanish. They have a siesta. They have about 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon, and even business closes down. I would love that lifestyle. When I was there, I felt like I was firing for 20 hours a day. That's how good it was. But that's for me. So I put things like correspondence, answering email, and a whole heap of other things in my grind time. They're things I just got to do. You got to do some things you got to do. There's a whole heap of routine things, you know. I love writing references, but they can be frustrating. I love filling out forms so you can take your kid to this school and that school and every other school, but they don't really ring my bells. But understand, it's a sacrifice of love for me to do that for you after lunch. You know, a whole heap of these things. I will get to them. I will do them, but I grind them out not in my best time, in my grind time. You with me? It's really important that you look at your schedule in that respect. And then there's, and this relates to this point, there is what I call unwind time. There's prime time, grind time, and unwind time. You need to schedule time to relax. You need to know what relaxes you. And you look at the great men and women of God, people who have accomplished the things that they feel God has called them to, they know how to relax. They know how to take some time out. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's having a hit of tennis or some other sport. Or whatever it is. Golf, whatever. I don't know whatever it is for you. Might be just going for a walk or coming home and rolling around and wrestling with your kids on the carpet. And maybe if your kids are out, you'll do that with your spouse. I don't know. But the reality is, you've got to have some unwind time. That is so important. And most of you know that I have a saying. It is divert daily, withdraw weekly, meditate monthly, abandon annually. I believe to have a life of balance, we've got to have all of those four things in focus. For me, diverting daily is where I start the beginning of the day. Every day of my life, before I allow anything of the world into my life. And sometimes this is a challenge, but I've made that commitment to meet with God and to spend time reflecting on his word and in prayer. It's so foundational. So a couple of practical hints there. I think that's the secret to lasting. Remember the storm, you remember all the conflict and stuff that happened, and where was Jesus? He was in unwind time. In the middle of all the mayhem, he was asleep. I just love that. That to me just says something about the Lord. In the midst of all the mayhem of ministry and all the rest, in the middle of a storm, there's Jesus, asleep in the boat, being refreshed. No wonder he was able to calm the storm. Three, I must maximise my abilities. We've been talking during this series how each of us have a God-given shape. And one of the things that we've got to do is, as Paul said to Timothy, is to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. It's like feeding a fire. How do we do that? Two things I suggest. I won't take time on these. The habit of continual learning. Create the habit of continual learning. Do yourself a favour and learn all you can. Then remember what you learn and you will prosper, Solomon says. The second key, oh, by the way, your journals. We have blank pages all the way through the front section of your journals for notes. We're filling that up with the things that God says to us, quite apart from the day-by-day things. So the ladies, some of the ladies have already shown me pages they filled out in their journal on Wednesday night at the ladies' night out, where they were ministered to. I've already had others who just bring it to team times when we're having team time and they fill out some of the things they learn that will be helpful for them. That's what it's there for, and there's a whole heap of blank pages at the back. Second thing is continuous serving. Continuous serving. 1 Timothy 4:15, put these abilities to work, throw yourself into your task so everyone may notice your improvement and your progress. That's something God wants us to do. How can I help somebody else? Serving is the essence of the Christian life. As you give away life, you receive life. It's fundamentally how God wants us to serve, and we're following his example as we do. There's an aqueduct that the Romans built that I saw in 1983 in Spain. Went to visit my friends Ian and Murray Borum, who were there at that time, and Ian took us on a little sightseeing thing around some of the great castles and places. We came to a little city of Segovia in Spain. The Romans built this aqueduct in 109 AD. All right? That city for 1800 years until the early 20th century used that aqueduct all that time. Can you believe that? They didn't upgrade it or anything, they just used it. For 1800 years, that was what serviced the city. But then they got a bit smart and they thought, well, we'll turn it into a museum piece and we'll build something else to serve us as we move into the 20th century. And that's exactly what they did. But as soon as they stopped using it, the aqueduct began to dry. When it dried, it crumbled and it fell into total disrepute. I think that says something about life. As long as we're serving our purpose, as long as we are doing what we're doing, we're sustained and we give life. The moment we stop, our lives dry up and we crumble. We've got to serve, we've got to give. Finally, I've got to master my moods, I've got to manage my energy, I've got to maximise my abilities, and the final thing here is I've got to maintain my focus. And it's a challenge for us. I told you in the very first week of this series that nobody intentionally plans to waste their life. I've never met anybody who said, I'm planning to fail. That's how I want to live. I just want to fail. I'm just planning to blow my life away and waste it. People who waste their lives do it by default. And the problem is we get distracted. It's human nature to get distracted. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. You see, ADD is the attention deficit disorder, and I think we all suffer from it in one form or another. I have it. I think we've all got it. I'll give you an example of how I suffer from it. A few weeks ago, it was very interesting because Julie asked me to take the rubbish out, and like every good husband, I did. And I grabbed the rubbish, and there were about five bags at the back door, just wrapped up as Julie had done the clean, and I grabbed them, and I got around the corner into our garage. And on top of my bench was Geordie's trike that needed a repair job. So I put the bags down, and I repaired Geordie's bike. And then I looked across, and I saw there was still some paint. Somebody had borrowed some paint brushes in our neighbourhood, and they left the paint brushes, and the water was evaporating. I thought, I've got to get them washed, or they're never going to be able to be used again. So I did the paint brushes. Now, I had to give some real thought to this, because it took me 2.5 hours to do all of this. My bench needed tidying, so I tidied my bench, and I cleaned it up. 2.5 hours later, I got back into the kitchen. You ask whether we get distracted or not. All right, I got distracted. Admittedly, it was a wind-down Saturday afternoon. But the reality is I don't know that I necessarily lived those 2.5 hours with purpose, or that I did what was highest on the agenda. How do you keep getting distracted? Well, you've got to meet with the Master. You've got to meet with the Master on a daily basis. There's no substitute for that. You've got to establish a daily review. And as I have my daily devotions, I have a diary that I keep with me. If I get other thoughts come in, they go into the diary. But more importantly, whenever I get the opportunity, I can't say every day, but most days, I go through the mission that God has called me to. And I look at the values that God has said, John, these are significant for your life. And I do a regular check-up, and regularly I am convicted of some area of failure or some area where I need to measure up and I need to change. We've got to do that on a regular basis. Some people say to me, I don't remember what I read in my devotions. That's all right. I don't have a problem with that. Do you have a problem with that you don't remember everything you've read in the Bible? How many of you remembered everything you've read in the Bible? None of us have. I haven't. I've got to get my hand down quick, smart. I'll ask you a question. 2 weeks ago when you had your devotions, can you remember it? Sunday fortnight ago, do you remember your devotions that day? Can you tell me? I'll ask you another question. Can you remember what you had for dinner? Because you won't be able to remember probably unless you're in a system that gives you the same dinner every night or every Sunday night or something like that. You won't remember that either. You see, we do stuff that sustains us. I don't have to remember my food and what I ate. I'm not going to remember everything God gives me in His Word, but it's enough to sustain me for that day. And it's enough to keep me focused on doing what God's called me to do. And it's enough for my mind to be washed by the Word so that I'm clean and able to do God's work. That's what He's calling us to. And it will sustain you in mission. I'd love us to pray. Can we pray? And then we're going to ask Dave to come back and just sing a song for us related to our theme. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Paul says, the quality of each man's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. The fire will test it and show its reality. If it survives, he will receive a reward. But if it burns up, he will lose it. I want to put some things on the line this morning. I'm fearful for some of you. I really am fearful for some of you. Because it's not like you don't know what you ought to be doing. This is the basic life message of our church. That God has a mission, has a purpose for each of our lives. And I shudder to think that one day you could stand before the Master with His nail-pierced hands and He would ask, what did you do with your life? And you say, look, Lord, I had every intention of following Your call on my life. But in my entire life, I could never find the time to sit down and spend time with you and pray. Or write down the values I thought were important. Or think about the things that I ought to build into my life and build my life on and build into my children. I couldn't find a day to sit down to think through the basic promises and principles that you've given us of what you made me for and how you want it applied to my life. I never sat down, I never considered those goals and never thought about how they could fit into my schedule. I'm sorry. Friends, as we said, Christ has got to be number one. As Dave reminded us, he wanted us to be active. Well, we've got to be about your purposes. We've got to be fulfilling our mission, unique mission that you have for each of us. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me right now. Say this in your mind. Father, I want to live a life of quality for you. I want to fulfill the mission you made me for. I want to build my life on the values that are important and will last. And Jesus, I need your power to do what I know is best to do. I need your help in becoming what you intend for me to become. Please help me master my moods. Help me not to live a life based on feelings but based on truth. Help me to live by faith, to do the right thing even when I don't feel like it. Help me to take action on what I know is right and to affirm your truths and promises so that my mind can be renewed. Help me to fill my mind with your word so that the scales will be balanced to the good side of truth, not trash. And God, please, please help me to manage my energy, to make sure that the most important things get done. Help me to maximize my talents, to never stop learning, to never stop growing, to never stop serving. And I realize that all I am, I owe to your graciousness, and I want to use the rest of my life learning about you and your plan. I want to use my gifts and talents to help other people. And most of all, Father, I ask you to help me maintain my focus, to keep a close watch on my lifestyle and to not let a day go by that I don't take some time, even if it's just a few minutes, to sit down and talk to you about my life, to look at it seriously and to let you speak to me through your word. I ask you to help me in these areas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.